News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hello there, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. It has been an interesting morning so far, but we have another hour to go here. We're going to start this hour with the El Paso History Radio Show with an El Paso History Moment produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her history moment today is about a rainmaker who came to El Paso back when dynamite was used. And
yay.
What do you think happened?
The rainmaker comes to El Paso in 1892. El Paso is suffering from a severe drought, and with no rain in sight, Mayor Richard Cables and city aldermen recruit U.S. Brigadier General R.G. Dryenforth, a concussionist. The general's theory was rain could be created by firing cannons and launching balloons loaded with explosives into the sky. Though explosions did rock El Paso, the general's team failed to create rain and instead caused several small fires. The general's final report to the mayor and the city aldermen stated, though no rain was created, a heavy dew did fall. Years later, the general's failure at making rain branded him with the nickname of Dry henceforth. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Leave it to Melissa to go wandering around into the facts of history and find that.
Yeah, but think about this. They do seed clouds today.
Oh, I have no idea.
He was ahead of himself there.
Well, he was just trying to blow things up.
Well, you know, but he was having fun doing it.
Maybe he was just supporting his explosive hobby.
But he did.
Hey, I could make rain with this. Oh, really? Yeah, sure. Give me $10,000.
But he did have a do.
Well, yeah, this is something you do on Facebook all the time.
For the El Paso Historical Alliance. And if you want to get involved, call Bernie at 915-581-7920 and get involved. And don't forget our faithful friends at the El Paso. Remember at El Paso Win Facebook page. That's Barbara Given Bainey and her faithful crew over there that are continually putting up pictures and history stories and everything about El Paso and the region.
She's got a bunch of administrators. Another one she's got working over this, Ken Weese, W-E-E-S-E, I believe it is.
Yeah, that's a new name.
And hey, good luck with that. That's a busy thing. Cindy Medina is still in the house. Cindy, do you ever go on Remembering El Paso Win?
On the side?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, it's huge. Site. Got stuff everywhere.
Definitely.
It's full of pictures. Oh, you know what's going on? I think this microphone, when you hit the table, this microphone dies.
Yeah.
We have vintage microphones here.
Yes, they're antiquities.
That one is steam-powered.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, so we got to get that. By the way, speaking of people who keep this place running, they're in the control room kind of quiet right now. Look at this crowd. You wish you could see this. They're dancing in the control room.
Uh-oh.
Shelley Sutherland on the phone. Yay,
you're rocking
Shelley
out in here, obviously.
And the guy who runs all the electrons,
Sergio Valenzuela.
That's like he scored a goal, you know?
There we go.
There he is. Well, thank you guys for doing that. It's been kind of an interesting hour. And we're looking for Dr. Hogan maybe to pop back on the phone, or Dr. Miller, or Mr. Miller if he wants. But in the meantime, Cindy, tell us your thoughts about this, because you're a local kid. You ended up as a publicist on this. And then when that kind of job was over, you keep going.
What is over? I'm sorry.
I mean, you got paid to be a publicist. Are you still doing that?
No, it'll be a long time thing. This is something I definitely want to continue doing. It's not going to stop.
But a lot of it's coming from your heart, though. I
mean, exactly.
This is the history of your family and other people that you
history
grew up with.
History of my people, mutual history with the U.S., and I have a passion for it. And coincidentally, I always when I started this journey of helping the Lincoln Project, I was amazed that I have a great grandfather, fifth great grandfather, that was there when Benito Juarez arrived in Paso del Norte.
Oh.
So most likely they had to have known each other or crossed each other in the hallways, because at the, you know, at the presidency there, at the Palacio de Gobierno, the governor's palace. And so I'm writing a book about my grandfather, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you are?
Yes, because I'm bringing him back to life. He was a very important person during those times.
Watch that desk. I think that's what's making the microphone mad. But the thing about the history that you're involved in, did you grow up in El Paso going to schools here?
Yes, I did. And I got the history bug because of my father, Alfonso Medina. Guess what he brought home one time he had the National Geographic magazines growing up there, so I love the history. But what really started the history love is that he brought a book home of Henry Troost.
Oh.
And he goes, you have to learn your El Paso history. So that's how a lot of my history passion started. He just loves El Paso history.
Yeah, pull that microphone back toward you and move away from the desk here. I think we're hitting the desk too hard with this microphone. And again, this is the steam-powered one over here. But Cindy Medina is in the house. She's a publicist for this book. And the book is Abraham Lincoln and Mexico, written by Dr. Hogan, who's been on the first hour with us.
Yes.
Expecting to ring us back. But you're looking at this as like, this is my people, this is my thing.
My mission, actually, something that I'm supposed to be doing, actually.
Says who?
Says she.
Me.
Oh, I, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I see a spiritual connection.
That's my question.
Because also I found recently a document of a dinner they had New York. I forget the city, in 1882. And it was actually a dinner for Matias Romero. They were honoring him, and he attended. And guess what? During that whole dinner, different people made different speeches, and there was one person who made a speech. And the grandfather that I'm writing the book about was mentioned in that at that dinner. So I see a full circle of why I'm part of this project. I'm part of it because I think my ancestors brought me here because I'm supposed to be here.
And we knew you back when you were just a little kid here.
Yes.
This is good.
Yes.
But the thing is, you're doing this on a regular basis.
Yes.
And what you're finding out is that the mission of that you've chosen, that's a fabulous thing. How many generations, like ninth, you said, of your family? In El Paso, you're number nine.
In the region here.
Yeah.
The whole, because all this Chihuahua, this used to be, you know, New Mexico, where we're at right now, and then a little bit below El Paso right here was Nueva Vizcaya, the province, which is now Chihuahua State. So my family here, I have traced them till the late 1600s.
A lot of people don't realize that the Mexican-American Hispanic influence has been around since the late 1500s.
Yes.
And that's one thing we've been always trying to explain to people. That this is a region that has been incredibly well known and populated by people from Spain. Back when England was trying to figure out how to get rid of their pilgrims, kick them over to America. Back, wait.
Get rid of them.
Well, that may not have been what exactly happened, but some people think so.
Exactly.
But so back when that was going on, this has already been established here.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of missions, presidios, you know. Haciendas, the whole nine yards, you know.
What people need to know about the El Paso area and the Juarez area is that this is the first Camino Real that Spain made, going right through El Paso up to near Taos, New Mexico.
Exactly.
That's the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else with the Camino Reales down near San Antonio or the ones out in California, they are not first. We are. So therefore, we would bragging rights.
Exactly. And we're in a very important location here, you know.
And what they did about it. I mean, he went straight up the river and did the best he could to get all the way to Taos. Oñate. And the troubles that boy had. The troubles that boy had.
Not an easy time.
No, it isn't. But what we're going to do in El Paso is promote history where we find it. I think
exactly.
We're about to find some more here on the phone by the name David. Hey, good morning. You're on the radio, David.
How are you doing, Jackson Polk?
Thank you, senor. You're
good
the man whose poster is up on our wall, Dave Gutierrez. And the book you did was Patriots from the Barrio. So you're weighing in on this one, too, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of Cindy Medina's Facebook page. New Spain and Mexican history.
Thank you, Dave.
congrats to Dr. Hogan on this historical book. And I just wanted to call and say hello to Cindy, Dr. Hogan, you and Melissa Sargent.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Are you hearing us okay out there on the radio?
I am. I'm actually on the road. I'm headed for a Barnes & Noble book signing event in Modesto, California.
Oh, cool. One of your own for your Patriots book.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, good luck with that. Tell us when we can start watching HBO to see your name in credits.
Well, I don't know about HBO because HBO is not involved in this project.
Whatever you get involved in, let us know when you're there. We'll help you promote it.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys take care.
Thanks a lot. Good
take
to talk
care,
to you, David.
Dave.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I want to go to the premiere. That's what I want.
There we go.
We're going to the premiere.
We got the doctor back on the phone. Dr. Hogan, howdy.
Howdy.
We're back again here. We've been talking all kinds of stuff. The idea of this book and this movement, you call it a project, really. But what is your next step out of this? I mean, this is your first biggie. What are you going to do next? I'm kind of curious.
Well, we have two things going. One was we've contacted an agent, and he asked us to put together a pilot and 12 episodes for a Netflix show, and he's going to try to sell that for us. And I have a new book coming out probably next year, 2019. Hopefully from Harvard University Press, where it's being considered now. That's called Guns, Grit, and Glory, the true story of the Americans who helped fight against the French in Mexico. And
a little background for Cinco de Mayo there, huh?
Yeah, and it brings up some really interesting things about, the weaponry and so on and so forth. In 1860, for example, the Battle of Fort Sumter. You remember that?
Oh, I remember.
If you ever go to Fort Sumter, you'll notice that the outside where they first fired the cannonballs, there's a little bit of masonry chipped away. But by 1865, they had rifled cannon, and the shells were able to penetrate through 4 feet thick walls.
Wow.
So, tremendous change in armament. And, of course, those armaments got to Juarez in 1866. They were surplus U.S. weapons, and that's what they used against the French. So it really changed the course of the war.
Yeah, and rifles came in right about in there somewhere.
Exactly. They had single-shot rifles in 1860, and by 1865, of course, they had Remingtons and they had Colt revolvers.
So, oh, I should make the differences. These were spiral rifles, and they would actually shape the bullet's path as opposed to a ball and musket that just knocked it out of the tube. But these were actually much more accurate, so people need to know. Okay, the next thing you're going to do, you think you're going to get on Netflix, huh? That's pretty cool.
Well, we're going to try to pitch it to them, and we'll see what they do.
What else do we need to know about this?
I think it's a great story. And the other thing, since you have Cindy and Melissa there, the other aspect of this book is the feminist history. Most of what we know about Mary Todd Lincoln has been, she was a neurotic.
Yeah.
She gave her husband a hard time. She was a fashion addict. She was a shopping addict, her son Robert, actually put her in an asylum after Lincoln's death and so on and so forth. She was pretty much a mess. We know absolutely nothing about her, her contributions to international relations and how it wasn't, if it wasn't for her as an intermediary, Matias Romero never would have met these bankers. He never would have been able to raise, imagine a 24-year-old kid raising $18 million.
That's kind of bizarre.
To help a Mexican in exile. I mean, my God. So she made a major, major contribution to Mexico and to good U.S.-Mexican relations, and it hasn't been honored at all. And when I asked about this, I thought, there were no female historians in the 19th century. Well, that's true. But they were in the 20th century and in the 21st. But most of them have concentrated on, suffragette leaders and so on and so forth. And they didn't pay much attention to with the exception of Eleanor Roosevelt, they didn't pay much attention to first ladies.
Yeah, that is fascinating because it's a truism that you talk about. I mean, there were, like you said, some female historians, but it wasn't quite the selling item at that time.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, Mary Lincoln Todd, there were a lot, I've looked at her history and such over the time. There were a lot of reasons why she was going through what she was going through, which can be
sure.
Medically explained today. And
yeah,
so it's fascinating.
And she lost two of her children.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tremendous shock. And of course, after the assassination, now she was sitting next to, President Lincoln,
oh, yeah.
Which was shot in the back of the head. So all the blood and brains and everything blew all over her.
Ugh.
And plus, she was assaulted as well, in the fray. And then Congress did not vote her a pension.
No.
Yeah.
you know, so one of the things that Robert was, you know, was distressed about is she was sewing $20 bills inside her dress. Well, she was scared and paranoid that, you know, Johnson was going to kick her out of the White House with nothing.
Oh. And that could happen, yeah.
Well, and that did happen to women back in those days, so
oh, exactly.
She had damn good reason to think that way.
We're talking to Dr.
Exactly.
Michael Hogan here, and you are actually sitting in Guadalajara, Mexico as we speak.
Yes, I am.
All right,
it's a beautiful day here.
We're going to take a break and come back and talk to you some more, but we need to know maybe when you come back, give us some idea about the connections between Juarez and the area that we live in, because it has his name now. It did not originally. So what was all that? We're going to ask you that when we come back here. We're going to take some trivia questions here. Are you up for that?
Sure.
I think you wrote some of them, so there. I'm going to put you on hold, or you can drop off. In fact, maybe you should call us back in about 10 minutes. We need that phone line.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, fair enough. Talk to you in a bit. And let's do this, the trivia. What, you got any trivia left?
I have two questions left.
All right, what is it?
Okay. All right, let's get to that. Let's see. How did Mrs. Lincoln help the Mexican cause?
Is there a lot of answers to this?
Well, it was how she kind of in her own personal way in the beginning helped a young man.
We'll defer to Cindy here.
Yeah, we'll defer to Cindy on
and
that.
And Cindy will be our judge
as
to whatever we get in the way of
answers.
We kind
of had a few things that she did to help, but I think the initial one we started off
with. And she
can
be bribed, I have a feeling.
And the second one we really didn't discuss a lot about, but we did mention it, and that's why was Abraham Lincoln called Spotty Lincoln?
Spotty?
Spotty Lincoln.
Oh, no.
It wasn't because he had a pet dog called Spot. No, it was why was Lincoln called Spotty Lincoln when he was a congressman? There were other legislators that called him Spotty Lincoln.
This is something you have time to Google.
Yeah, that was an interesting one when I went and looked it up. And I found it real quick. So.
We've already got a caller. We didn't even give out the phone number. How do they know? How do they know?
They read my mind.
Oh, my God. And we're going to give away stuff again. Here
That's
we got this.
Right. We're going to get Pepe's $20 food certificate and an
DVD,
El Paso Gold
DVD.
And they can do this by calling us at 915-544-5876. Or 915-544-KTSM.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-573-9552. That's 800-573-9552. 800-573-9552. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
If you were injured in an accident, call Thomas J. Henry now. Thomas J. Henry is the largest personal injury law firm in Texas. Our attorneys are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to take your call. We offer a free case review, and you don't pay any fee unless we win your case. If you've been hurt, call us now at 915-243-1444. That's 915-243-1444. San Antonio and El Paso, Texas.
It's time to get out and discover freedom. And to get you on your way, Camping World in Anthony, Texas will beat any deal during the Discover Freedom sales event now through July 31st. For a limited time, step into a new travel trailer for only $109 per month or a motorhome for $388 per month. Plus, this weekend and next weekend only, enjoy up to 45% off select RV parts and accessories. Discover your next adventure today at Camping World in Anthony, Texas. Camping World RV sales payments not inclusive of tax and fees. See dealer for terms and conditions. Offer expires 7/31/18.
Call J&J Scapes Company for landscaping, lawn maintenance, sprinkler installation, and repair. Call 915-244-7178 for experienced lawn and sprinkler professionals who know how to take care of your lawn and sprinklers. They also do rock wall repair, sod installation, and tree planting, trimming, or removal. So call 244-7178 and get the pros at J&J Scapes Company in El Paso at 244-7178. Call 915-244-7178.
Seven, Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Somebody just put a picture of a statue in Juarez on our Facebook page.
I did that.
That was you.
That was me, because that's the one I saw when I first drove over in Juarez.
He's still standing
up there.
I was
like, what? What is a statue? And that's one of the few, I think, in countries around the world, I think it's the only country that has a statue of a United States president, if I'm still correct. It may be different in another country.
We got to do trivia. You ready for trivia?
Ready for trivia.
Okay, we're going to do trivia, and the trivia is going to be in just a second. I got to tell you who's coming in next week.
Oh, that's
you know
right.
Who's coming in here next week?
Yeah.
Classic Film Festival with Doug Poland.
Yay.
Oh, my God. It's going to be interesting stuff to hear what goes on down there, and it's going to be all over again, but brand new.
Bruce Dern's coming to
See?
Town.
Stuff like that.
We should have him in here.
Well, July 28th, we're going to have Bernie Sargent. He's going to be talking about some pioneers who helped shape El Paso in the early days, 1880s, 90s. And now up to the last century, August 4th. Oh, get this one. I just handed you the book to take a look at. It's by Joel Lewells. It's called, the book is called On the Rio Grande, Stories of My Life on the Border. Okay, so who's Joel Lewells?
Who's Joel?
He's a totally Mexican-American who looks German and got away with it. Look at him. Look at the picture on the back of there. But
he does kind of look German, but he looks Hispanic, too.
But he grew up, and he was anything he needed to be, depending on what was going on.
Hey.
And he was very successful at it, but that's the whole point. He wasn't deceiving people. He said, what do you think? Okay, that's who you are. But anyway, that book is on August 4th. We'll have him in there. August the 11th, Concordia Cemetery, August 18th. What is the history of the Federal Reserve Bank in El Paso? I have no idea.
They got money. That's why I want.
Are we going to be giving out samples?
I hope so.
Yes. No, we're not.
Okay. Actually, I think they are going to have some ground up millions of dollars or whatever. Okay.
Okay. We're going to do trivia here. And also, we have a non-trivia question as well. Okay. I get that figured out. And there's a third line now ringing here going to Robert. You're on the radio, Robert. What's up?
I'm here, and I'm ready to answer the question about Mary Todd Lincoln's assistance to Juarez.
What was your answer?
After Matisse Romero provided his carriage for Miss Lincoln to go on a shopping trip, then she had dinner parties and introduced him to American financiers. And, of course, the one that would be familiar to El Paso would be Phelps Dodge.
Oh, is that what they
there
did?
There you go.
And we accept this answer? Yeah, the third base judge over here,
Cindy,
said.
He paid really good attention in class.
Yeah,
today.
Robert went beyond that. You got to get him a gold star plus. Okay. All right, then you get to choose something here, right?
Okay, Pepe's or an El Paso Gold DVD?
I'll take Pepe's because I remember Griggs Restaurant out on Montana.
Pepe ran that one himself on Montana.
But this one's out in Canyotillo. So.
Yeah, and now you got to truck out to Canyotillo. It's not that big a deal, and it's worth the food.
Says it's a nice drive out there. You just go over Trans Mountain, you'll get there real easy.
All right, Robert, anything else on your mind this morning?
No, you guys have a great program. Love it.
Thanks, Robert.
Thanks a lot. Thank you, dude. Take her easy. Stay on hold here now. Shelley will tell you how to pick up that Pepe's certificate. And, we have a caller on the phone who talk about, I think, about Mr. Juarez. Is this Jody? Good morning, Jody.
Hi, Jackson. Well, I'm tuning in late. Hi, Melissa. Anyway, I'm an advisory board member of the 12 Travelers.
Oh, I was thinking about that this morning. I saw a picture of it, and I just happened to think about it.
So your thoughts here. We're talking about Benito Juarez and Abraham Lincoln. And what are your plans now? What has been decided about the monument to Mr. Juarez?
Well, we have a place for the fourth monument in our series, and it's at the Chamizal.
Oh, boy.
They're very excited to have it. So we're in the process of raising funds to make this beautiful bronze monument that Ethan Hauser will now be the sole sculptor of. You know, he was a sculptor with his father for the first three. So anyway, it will be Benito Juarez as a man when he was in Juarez for 9 months as president, and then as a little boy on the other side of the bench where he's a little Zapotec Indian boy that holding a book. So it's a monument that promotes education because here was this illiterate little boy who became president.
Right.
The most So anyway, that will be there. And then we also have a medallion that's already been created by Eisenhower of Lincoln and Juarez. It's this beautiful medallion, and it will be a part of the monument because they were both, you know, suffering through civil war. And they, as I'm sure you all were talking, they were, they'd never met, but they certainly admired each other greatly.
They corresponded,
and,
yeah.
Well, yeah, and then there's the Juarez the Lincoln Monument in Juarez that was erected in April of 1964.
Oh, 64.
But,
okay.
Yeah, but we were supposed to do our end of the bargain and have one done of Juarez way back then. So it's at the Chamizal. So it's finally going to happen.
All right, let's do this, Jody. How does somebody donate to your cause if they wish to do so?
Well, we have a treasurer named Nancy Howell, and let me give you her address.
Also, if you look up 12 Travelers of the Southwest Monuments, you'll find that on the internet.
Right. Yeah, we have
easier.
A website, and
okay.
it's xiitravelers.org.
Like, all right, but all right. Well, that should be sufficient. People can go online and figure out how to donate.
Or you can write 12travelers.com. Either way.
Okay.
Or
right.
Nancy Howell is 452 Borealis Street. 79912.
All right, I'll tell you what.
We would love support or anybody that's interested in getting on board to help this happen. We would just love it.
Check the website. Also, maybe get you guys in here in a couple of weeks or months, more like months, and talk further about this.
Shall we're very
excited.
Get
an update on it.
Jody, thanks a lot for calling up. You take her easy.
All right, you too.
Take care, Jody.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
And she's not quite my cousin, although sometimes we claim that because she grew up as a Polk.
Oh, I'd love to claim her as a cousin.
Well, yeah, but she grew up as a Polk, and so did I. I'll get over it. But moving on to the next event, shall we take another break?
Sergio
wants us to play more commercials. That's what he likes. Okay,
yeah, we got to pay the bills.
Call
keep
us
the
up if you want to.
Keep the steam on.
Put the steam back on that microphone. Go for it. What's the deal? 915-544-5876
or 544-KTSM.
That's about right. Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Greg Miner. As the founder of a small business, I know firsthand how difficult it can be to manage through cash flow problems. When I tried to borrow money, the banks wouldn't touch me, and I got a lot of fast talk from loan brokers. That's why we founded Merchant Capital Source 10 years ago, to help small business owners like you get the funding you need without getting the runaround. We'll fund your business from $5,000 to $200,000, and because we're a direct lender, there's no middleman to cause delays or cost you money. If you've been in business for 6 months and have sales of at least $15,000 per month, we can approve you within hours and put cash in your account within 3 days. The process is fast and easy, and the best part is that no tax returns, financial statements, or business plans are necessary. Experience the Merchant Capital Source difference and get cash for your business today.
Apply online at mcscash.com or call 800-722-3491. That's 800-722-3491. 800-722-3491.
Loans made or arranged pursuant to a California Finance Lenders Law License.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, we're going to be able to tell you some history that is in the making.
Ooh.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's in This Week Only in El Paso, Inc.
Why an El Paso home builder is getting national attention and a spot on a top 10 list.
Also in the Inc., how a group that owns local restaurants plans to expand their brand into Mexico.
And what you need to know before picking out a new pooch. What's the best breed for your family, your home, and your heart?
You're talking about a dog, I suppose, right?
Oh, I hope
okay,
so.
El Paso's locally owned business journal, El Paso Inc., is available for home and business delivery.
Go online to ElPasoInc.com to subscribe.
This week only on ABC 7 Extra, a video showing an El Paso police officer pulling a gun on a group of kids has been viewed millions of times nationwide. Was it justified or could it have been avoided? That's the subject of ABC 7 Extra Sunday night at 10:35.
Host Saul Sines will be joined by Ron Martin of the El Paso Municipal Police Officers Association and Ernest Wade, EPCC Law Enforcement Academy instructor. Join ABC 7 Saul Sines live Sunday nights at 10:30 p.m. only on ABC 7.
All right, back into the history of the name of the book is Abraham Lincoln and Mexico. The name of the publicist sitting in the studio is Cindy Medina. Hello.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Welcome here again. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for
And the name
me.
Of the guy that wrote the book is named Hogan. Dr. Hogan, he's on the phone here. Good morning again, sir.
Good morning again. Now let's talk about El Paso.
Yes,
Well, I have three little stories to tell you. You know, the first one is, you know, what was Juarez doing up there in the first place? Well, in 1863, of course, the French had invaded Mexico and installed Maximiliano of Austria-Hungary as the emperor, and Juarez had to flee the capital. He fled first to San Luis Potosí, and then had to leave there, went to Monterrey, had to leave there, went to Chihuahua City, had to leave there, and ultimately ended up in El Paso de Morte, which is what we now call Ciudad Juarez, named after him. He was back and forth across the border, but mainly stayed in Chihuahua for the next 2.5 years. What was important about El Paso? Well, it was the doorway to the north, if you will. On one side of the river was the United States. On the one side of the bridge was the United States. On the other side was Mexico. That was important. It was important to keep the lines of communication open. Even though at the start it was a Confederate held territory, by 1864, 1865, there were inroads being made by the Union Army. And, of course, once the Appomattox Courthouse surrender was signed, Grant instructed General Sheridan with 50,000 troops to go to Texas. And by that time, there were large numbers of troops and armaments in Texas. He also instructed him, and this is an interesting story, he also instructed General Sheridan to lose 30,000 rifles at the border.
How did he do
so that?
So
that Juarez and his men could pick them up.
Oh, I see. Just happened to just put them in the trash.
Turned his back and they were gone.
Oh, I bet there was some bullets involved, too.
Yeah, you know, and they were surplus weapons. Now, of course, you know, this Romero fella had bought numerous. He bought Parrott cannons, which are very expensive artillery pieces. He bought six of them that were later used in the Battle of in the battle for Mexico City, and also in the Battle of Querétaro. But rifles they were short of. So, you know, he just said, give them 30,000 surplus rifles. Just drop them off at the border, and Juarez's men will get them, which, of course, they did.
Bizarre.
The other thing that's kind of interesting, and I just found this out when I was visiting with Cindy in Chihuahua a few months back. I was in the archive, and we were talking to the archivist there, and I said, I wonder if there's any indication that after Lincoln died that Juarez made any efforts to communicate with him. And we pulled out the papers, the newspapers for that period, and Juarez had ordered all flags in Mexico to be flown at half mast for 8 days in commemoration of Lincoln's death.
That's a bit unusual, isn't it?
Yeah. It was a period of mourning. And there was also a proclamation from the governor of Chihuahua following the lead of Juarez to make that known statewide. So there's a real tradition. And I think the bridge is still called El Paso del Norte, no? The bridge there?
Yes, there is a bridge.
Yeah.
El Paso del Norte.
Yeah, that's the official name of it. And of course, that was the name of the city before it was changed to Ciudad Juarez.
I think we had one time period of confusion here when there was El Paso del Norte, and on our side we were El Paso. That went in for a little while, and then they figured out this is not a good idea. Can you imagine being a postman trying to deliver a letter? Well, the influence of Juarez is basically, obviously, is still today. And to the point, he made himself exile, but he stayed in his own country.
Yep, exactly.
He was
exactly.
invited across the river numerous times in those 9 months he's lived in El Paso del Norte. He was invited across the river, but he never wanted to be known to have left his country. So he didn't come
exactly.
over. Yeah.
Exactly. He came right to the border, but never crossed over into the United States, so that he could never be accused of having left Mexico.
Well, you know, you're full of all kinds of interesting stuff. I'd never heard that thing about how Lincoln dropped off 30,000 rifles for Juarez's troops.
that was Phil Sheridan that did that, you know.
Amazing. Well, what other things do we need to know about this? Because there's all kinds of pieces to this puzzle. What else should our audience know about that? Where do you get the book, by the way? Barnes and Noble.
The book is available on Amazon. It's available in both Spanish and English. It's been translated into Spanish as well. It's called Abraham Lincoln y México, but it's also at the community colleges. It's also in the El Paso bookstore. Cindy can give you more information on that. It's at the UTEP Library. I know she took it over there. And we've had a really good response from the El Paso area of people that have read the book and really liked it.
Let me see. Go ahead.
I've put the links to your website as well as the Amazon.com, and I also put up the links to the project that Mr. Miller is involved. Michael Miller is involved in, and that's the Lincoln and Mexico Project, or LAMP. I've put links up on our Facebook pages for that, so you can go to that. People can go to that also.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Cindy.
Oh, you're welcome. So, okay, now, Cindy, could you explain a little bit about that project? Now, Doctor, you're involved with that one too, correct? The LAMP?
Yeah, the Lincoln in Mexico Project is essentially an attempt, I think Michael Miller mentioned it before, to get this book into the schools. And what we do is we offer a complete set of lesson plans for the teacher. We offer a play about Mrs. Lincoln in Mexico, a three-act play. It was actually performed in Mexico and in a community theater as well as in the schools. We offer that free. And we offer also, if the teacher buys a book for his school, we offer for 99 cents the electronic version for any student in the class.
Wow.
And in addition to the actual text of the book, of course, all the original documents that are referred to in the book are there for the students to read on their own. So they don't have to take my word that, you know, this is what was said or that was what was said. We even have the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which is kind of interesting, in both Spanish and English in the book, so that students can see, what happened as a result of that treaty, which is really kind of interesting because, originally, the people in the area were given the option of choosing Mexican citizenship or American citizenship. And of course, Congress said, no way, we're going to accept that.
No choices for you.
In the original treaty, that was part of the agreement. So it's interesting to kind of look at that history.
We got Dr. Michael Hogan on the line here from Guadalajara, Mexico, and he's talking about a book called Abraham Lincoln and Mexico. And we have a caller coming in. I'll put you on hold for a second here, Doc. We got Thomas is on the radio. Thomas, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Your program spoke about some camels being used to transfer cargo.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My question is, when these camels were used,
which
where
ones?
Did they come from? Where did they come from?
All right. Well,
and were there any people from Saudi Arabia that came by, like, military type to help?
All right. Well, thanks
And where did they actually cross the camels into Mexico?
All right. Thanks for the question. Hold on. Here comes your answer. Dr. Hogan.
Okay, that's a good question. It started when Jefferson Davis was Secretary of War, and that's in the 1850s. And he sent a commission to both Egypt and to Saudi Arabia, and they bought over 100 camels initially. I think they bought 30 from Egypt, and the rest from Saudi and surrounding areas. So there are two different kinds of camels, both camels and dromedaries.
Mm-hmm. The one hump or two hump, right?
Yeah, and the ones that ended up in Mexico were camels, and I'm not sure if they brought someone from Saudi with them as an advisor, but that's something I'll
certainly research. I know that there were advisors, or there were trainers that they brought with them. Now, I know there was one that stayed here in the United States. I don't know how many they brought with them.
Okay, that's a good question. We can both research that, Cindy.
You're ready for camels, huh?
We can find more information. The other thing is, my question was, what happened to them after the war? And in fact, it looks like they were donated to or sold to circuses, including Ringling Brothers, Bond and Bailey, but also some circuses down here in Mexico. And the last camel in Texas died at a small farm, and that was a news story at the time back in, I guess, 1910 or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of influences on this whole subject. on America and Mexico.
The camel story.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, this is an interesting way to look at history. Basically, you found a box of documents and away you went, right?
Yeah. No, it's been really exciting. And every time I go back and look, I find something. Well, I couldn't use that in the book, but it's still interesting to talk about. The camel story, for example, is one, but there are several.
Well, have we...
How on earth? Now imagine today. How on earth could a 24-year-old kid from Mexico in a bow, three-piece black suit go to the United States and raise $18 million?
That's a little bizarre.
He's a charmer.
That to me is absolutely incredible.
Sign him up, you know.
Well, hey, he was a young Hispanic man or Spanish man, and he just had wonderful charm. I'm sure. Love that accent.
Well, have we gotten to everything? And your research, I'm curious, what was the most unusual thing that you found out in all this? Maybe we've already covered it. I don't know.
Well, I think, I think for me, the unusual thing was that Mary Todd Lincoln played such a significant role in facilitating. Because the question is, how could a 24-year-old kid do all this? And, of course, he couldn't, without a lot of help. And basically that help was Mrs. Lincoln, who gave him access to her parlor and her dinners and her contacts, and with that kind of imprimatur, which she got with the blessing of her husband, of course, but she's the one that actually did it. He was too busy with the Civil War to even bother with that.
He had things going on.
Yeah, she really changed what happened in Mexico, and if it wasn't for her, things would be very, very different. The war would have gone on much longer, and maybe even the Confederates would have joined up with
well, a lot of things could have changed on those little issues there. We have another caller here. Shelley, who do we have? Let me see who Shelley has. We have, and we have Mr. Miller. All right, Mr. Miller's back. Howdy.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. We got you on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, great. I just wanted to say thank you again for doing this show. It's a wonderful show. I wasn't able to hear all of it because I was getting ready to an important delivery. My wife is a French chef, and she's made a special pie. Ooh. For Dr. Hogan's 75th birthday today.
And Bastille Day. Yay, Bastille
Day. And is she going to deliver one to us? That's what we
want. Yes, we'll be expecting. 6761 Donovan Drive. We need to deliver it to Pepe's.
Well, maybe next time.
Okay.
I want a quick plug. If anybody wants more information about the book and about the Lincoln and Mexico Project, there's a website. It's lincolnandmexicoproject.org. And has all the details on there, and many blog posts and talks about it, and the fact that Dr. Hogan won a national award from DePaul University earlier this year as an educator. It's the first time that DePaul has ever recognized an educator from Mexico, so it's a very special honor. Thank you again for letting me on the show.
Oh, thank you for helping out, and we'll talk to you again. We'll go back to Dr. Hogan here real quick. So you got an award, huh?
Yeah. DePaul University honored me for outstanding teaching for best.
Well, we're going to give you an award today for being an outstanding radio guest. And hold on
awesome.
Here. We got to take a break and come back with one more segment. We have some more callers. We'll get back to you in just a second, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hold on here. And 544-whatever.
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Sponsoring a child with compassion is the most effective way to end extreme child poverty. Release a child from poverty when you become a Compassion sponsor. Choose your child now at compassion.com/radio. Do your part to release a child from poverty today.
Have you ever wondered what the highest city in Texas is? I know, it's probably a loaded question. Get it? Loaded. Most people would probably think it's Austin, but it's actually Fort Davis. At over 5,000 feet, it's the highest town in Texas, and also one of the most beautiful rides we do all year. The weather is cool, the mountains are majestic, and the sky, well, there's nothing like that sky. By day, it looks like you can see forever, and by night, God puts on a special effects show complete with shooting stars. Once you see it, you'll never forget it. The fort, now largely restored, has been there since 1854. The Harley Owners Group, also known as the Hogs, will be there this weekend. If there was ever a ride that was worth buying a Harley just to take, it's this one. The adventure starts at BarnettHarley.com or when we hand you the keys to your new Barnett Harley Davidson. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 17% or less than 6% APR? The answer is obvious, LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to LightStream.com/talk. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 17% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to LightStream.com/talk. That's LightStream.com/talk. LightStream.com/talk.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here, along with Cindy Medina. And Cindy, you had some thoughts about you and thank some people here real quick.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to emphasize the Lincoln and Mexico Project. It's to inform and educate about Abraham Lincoln's support for Mexico. It's an excellent book. You know, whatever our politics or our national origin, We need to face the facts about our shared history and rely on the truth to seek and for a forward path. That's the most important thing. So I'm very blessed to be part of this project. And I just wanted to say thanks to the people who supported me last year when I initiated this project here in El Paso. The Consul de Mexico, Marcos Bucio Mujica, he received a book last year. He was very helpful with the project. Of course, Mr. Varela and Mr. Delgado from Borderplex, Mr. O'Rourke, Clarter Rivers from the UTEP Library there, Special Collections, the El Paso Public Library downtown, and Mr. Roberto Perez Diaz, who also...
Oh, it's a society, historical society.
Yes, I believe so, yes. And so a lot of other great people from El Paso and a lot from Chihuahua City. And so I'm just very thankful that people have been very open to this great part of history in the book, and I'm happy to be on board with this project.
And your goal is to make it a better relationship between Mexico and the United States.
Yeah, just mutual
Your goal
history.
Is not to take over Arizona.
And exactly.
Okay, thank
and
you very much.
History is history. It's gone. All we need to do is work together and learn from each other and that we've supported each
okay.
other.
Oh, you can't have Arizona, by the way, but I'll negotiate on New Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Get out of here. All right, we got one more question for the doctor. He's on hold here. We're going to Daryl. Daryl, give me a 30-second question. Go for it.
Well, it's more than a question. It's kind of a comment. The 12 Travelers, their next project is a sculpture of Benito Juarez.
Oh, yes.
And it's based upon the correspondence between Benito Juarez and President Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
And it's to highlight unusual relationship that Benito Juarez had with President Lincoln.
It was different, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right.
It
cool.
was strictly in writing. They never met face to
face. Yeah, and that's kind of interesting. And they had no Instagram to work with either, did they?
No, they didn't.
All right, Daryl, thanks for ringing up, dude. You take her easy.
Yeah.
See you at lunch out there, dude. No, back to Dr. Hogan. We got about a minute and a half here, dude. This has been kind of fun to see what's going on with this book, Doc.
And Jackson, I really appreciate you and Melissa inviting me to be on the show. And of course, it's always great to connect with Cindy again. She's done so much for us and for kids on both sides of the border. And that's what this is all about. I think we can have great relations in the future if, you know, both sides know their mutual history. And the problem has been that we really haven't taught that in the classrooms. And people don't know the story. So,
well that's
you know,
our
the more people know, the better we can get along.
That's our argument here in El Paso, is that we're not taught our El Paso history in our El Paso schools. And this is just another piece of that puzzle. This isn't taught either. So, well, thank you for doing what you did.
That's where you do such a great job,
well,
Jackson. I want to thank you for doing that.
I got to tell you, Melissa and I sit here and do this every week, and we get thanked like that. And it's like, oh, God, you know what? They really don't know this out there. Because
yeah.
I remember I didn't know this out there. You know, that's the way this goes.
Our doctor, or you just enhance what we know, or we learn even more. You can never stop learning.
One day in the near future, doctor, you owe me a lunch at Pepe's, okay?
Okay.
He can come up for the unveiling of the statue.
The unveiling of the next statue.
The
there you go. Good to talk to you, dude. We're gonna sign off. You take her easy.
Take care now.
Okay, you too. God bless you both.
Thanks a lot.
You.
Cindy,
we're about
out of here. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for having us.
It's been a fun adventure, and you're going to Pepe's.
Yes, definitely.
Aha, uh-huh. Cindy's going to Pepe's.
I got grandkids.
Come on out there. So. One quick more plug for J&J Scapes Company. Go get your sprinklers fixed.
I'm gonna
this
give
guy's
a call.
Good. 244-7178. You're going to call him.
I'm going to give him a call.
Fair enough. EPHistory.com.
I'm trying to watch Bernie dig holes.
Details of the History Shirt Radio Show, EPHistory.com.
EPHistory.com.
Yeah, we're going next week. We'll see you again.
I got pictures. I've got
Cindy's
picture up there.
Next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon. And be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management, for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
Is it time for new reading glasses? Go to readers.com.